Welcome to an all-new episode of Jet Nation Radio. Dennis Agapito and Tyson Roche give their opinions on the latest Jets news.
How about our offense? When are we going to put it together? When are we going to put it together? Can we not run the ball down their throats every snap? Can we not throw it any time we want to throw it? Can we have fun? You're damn right. I demand that we have fun.
And now here they are, your hosts, Dennis and Tyson.
Good evening, everybody, and thank you once again for joining us for another wonderful episode of Jet Nation Radio. This is Dennis Agapito, and we are very glad to have you aboard tonight. And as you know, this is an interactive show. And it doesn't really work without the participation of you, the audience. So we encourage you to get involved with the conversation. You can find us on Twitter. It's at Jet Nation Radio. You can also give us a phone call live. The phone number is 646-716-4697. Please hit 1 when prompted. And our wonderful switchboard operator, Steve, is eagerly awaiting your phone call. But of course, as always, I'm joined by a good friend and a wonderful co-host, Mr. Tyson Roush. So, Tyson, how you doing tonight, buddy?
What's up, numbers? How you doing, man?
I'm just sitting here with my calculator, you know, punching away. Another week's gone by. We've got the combine coming up on Wednesday. It's going to start, and that's pretty exciting to see some of the prospects out there doing the drills, and it's televised, and you can see them. You know, they're not in pads, but they do various drills. You know, the bench press and the receivers do their types of catching drills, and the quarterbacks throw the ones that feel like throwing. So it should be exciting to see, the prospects out there doing the combine. And you know, it gives us something to look at and evaluate the draft a little bit better.
Hey, Dennis, you know what? I'm going to guarantee you two things, because there's been a lot of breaking stories today. I guarantee you that the Jets coaching staff will be at the combine. I guarantee you that. Guarantee the Jets are going to draft players this year. That's my breaking news for today.
They're not drafting like an alligator or something. They're going to draft players.
But all of a sudden, all these stories are coming out. And I understand why, but the media is desperate to break a story. So they're like, the Jets are going to draft a receiver this year. I'm like, that's your story? Like, there's an obvious glaring need, and that's the story you give us? Or it's just like, the Jets could be interested in so-and-so. And if we learned anything from last year, the media had no clue the Jets wanted. John Idzik continuously caught everybody off guard with all his moves. So I find it funny how these stories are trying to come out there. It's like either they're a no-brainer throwing anything to the wall and saying, hey, man, this may happen. But it's just like, and then the fans all overreact. And I'm like, just think about last year. John Idzik kept his cards so close to the vest. We have absolutely no idea, A, what he's thinking, or B, what he's going to do.
Yeah, Mike Mayock has come out and said that maybe the Jets will double dip, and maybe they will, but, I agree with you. And look, here's the thing about the draft, and we all love the draft. It's very exciting. We read mock drafts. But, who knows if Tavon Austin had fell to 9 last year, if he would have been the guy. But you know what happens before the draft? Like, a guy like Chandler Jones, he was supposed to be a second-round pick. That's what, all the experts said. And all of a sudden, a week before the draft, he shot up, and he was a first-rounder. He ended up getting taken in the first round, we know, by the Patriots. But what changed within a week? He didn't do another workout. So strange things happen in the draft. And, everyone's on this Eric Ebron, kind of gravy train here because he's the guy who a lot of these so-called experts are picking. Now, look, I'm not saying Eric Ebron should be picked or shouldn't be picked. It's just that a lot can change between now and then. And you might be looking at a guy like Anthony Barr, an outside linebacker. What if he's there and the Jets have him rated 10th on their board and the next closest guy they have is rated like 25th? I think you have to take him. Remember, you only get one shot at a number one pick. You got to make it count. You can't pull an A.J. Jenkins, who was the first-round draft pick of the 49ers in 2012, 30th overall pick, and the guy never played a down for them. So, yeah, I do hear you. There's a lot of speculation, but a lot of it's no-brainer stuff. And you know what? We'll have to wait and see what the Jets do in the draft. Free agency will tell a lot, but it should be exciting to see the combine. Guys do shoot up the boards, and they do fall down the boards because of things they do at the combine.
Yeah, Dennis, and the one thing we got to keep in mind is there's two things. Well, I have a lot of opinions tonight. So be careful. The one thing is the combine is the best time for overreactions. all these workout warriors. You know, let's not forget, these guys train for this. So the Vernon Golsons, you know, I go back, I'm fairly old, Mike Mamula with the Eagles. These guys train to ace these workouts. So when these guys, you know, this is like overreaction weekend where some fringe receiver runs a 4.4 and he catches 6 out of 7 passes, like, this guy should be second-round pick. So it's like overreaction weekend. And the second thing is there's so many smoke screens put out by general managers and coaches. We're trying to throw each other off. So you really can't believe a lot of these things. So when you hear the reporter, Jets are interested in whoever, say, you know, Troy Nicholas or whoever they're, you know, they're interested in. These could be all smoke screens to make somebody ahead of them get nervous, somebody behind them get nervous. You know what I mean? It's like a game of cat and mouse. So you try to keep it all in perspective when you see that, especially during the combine, because I always laugh because it's like overreaction Monday. We saw Rex in the hallway with prospect B. Oh, my God, the Jets are interested in him. Another guy was just talking to him. You know what I mean? So you got to try to keep it in perspective. It's an exciting time for football fans, but you got to try to keep it in perspective, too.
Yeah, and, you know, and Marty Morningwick said this. There's a lot of things to look, evaluate. There's tape on the player. There's other things. This isn't the be-all, end-all of what's going to determine whether or not we're going to draft this player. It's only a piece of the puzzle. But it should be exciting. We might be looking at bringing Ron on next week to kind of go over what happened in the combine. And, you know, we're going to talk a little bit more about the draft, about some of the Jets roster. We got a lot of things lined up for tonight's show. And, again, if you feel like calling in, I do see we have a call on the line. We'll get to you in a moment. If you want to call in and talk about the draft or about what's going on with free agency or anything Jets, please feel free to call in. The number is 646-716-4697. But I did want to touch on this, Tyson, a little bit, just to kind of start off with, because when I read this, it made smoke come out of my ears. That's how angry I was. And it's by this guy, Sid Zeigler. Okay, I'm not even going to give who he writes for or anything, because I don't want to justify him any more than he's already been in the news a little bit. But, you know, Michael Sam has come out as a gay athlete, and we know he goes to Missouri. And a guy Sheldon Richardson, who's Defensive Rookie of the Year, who I believe plays for the Jets, has come out and strongly supported Sam. And, you know, people have varying opinions. I'm not here to get into Michael Sam or anything about his sexual orientation, but this Sid Zeigler kind of represented him, okay, in this story. And he went on a radio station in Washington and said this: he, meaning Sam, can work on any team with decent leadership. I pray to God he does not end up on the Dallas Cowboys, the New York Jets, or the Washington Redskins. I think those three teams, they have poor leadership, but most of the other teams in the NFL have guys, the coaching staff, and the front office and the locker room who are equipped to deal with this. Tyson, where do I begin my anger?
Well, do you want to take a deep breath first?
I think I should. You know, if this person is trying to help Michael Sam by pointing out, now, look, I was upset because of the Jets, personally, because he mentioned the Jets, but I don't know much about the Washington Redskins locker room or the Dallas Cowboys locker room, so I wouldn't say anything about them because I don't know. I know some stuff about the Jets. That's who I follow. But the fact that he mentioned these three teams, do you think that helps Michael Sam's chance of getting drafted by these teams? Or maybe they see these quotes and say, well, here's somebody that sort of represents this guy. They obviously have talked about our organization, and maybe he doesn't want to be a part of our organization. So wouldn't you think that that would hurt his chances of getting drafted?
I mean, tactfully, it's a terrible move. It does him a disservice, Dennis. I mean, I know you want to go on a rant about this, but, A, I was surprised. And, like, in the situation he's in, he should be looking for as much positive media as he can get and not start burning bridges and causing problems. I mean, I was shocked. I tried to look at the source of the article, too, but I was like, wow, I just can't believe, because now, if you're the Jets, I'm like, you know what? If this is the case, you're a middle round, you're a fourth round guy, a third, fourth. There are other players out there. If this is the way you feel about us, we're not going to waste our time with you.
Yeah, I'll go in another direction where maybe I was going to take you in the third or fourth round. Again, the higher you get drafted, the more money you make. So if there's a team, whether it's the Cowboys, Redskins, or Jets, that are going to take Michael Sam at position X, fourth round pick, say, and now they said, well, you know what, we've kind of changed our mind because of this quote, not because of the things with his sexual orientation. That had nothing to do with it. Because of this quote here, because he doesn't look like he wants to play for my organization, that's a big disservice to Michael Sam. Now, here's another thing that bothered me about the Jets having poor leadership in the locker room. Now, we interviewed Kimberly Jones of NFL Network, and we asked her, and I'm going to play this clip because I cut it out, of what Kimberly Jones said about the Jets locker room. You actually asked the question, so here it is.
Kimberly, one of the things I noticed the most this year with the Jets team as a whole is that it seems like they have like a team-first attitude. I saw Geno Smith, but everybody's it's about the team playing together, playing as one. Have you noticed like a culture change with the Jets where there's not like those distractions and like that possible malcontent kind of player?
Yep. I think they've got a great locker room, and I've said that other places, and I think that that is absolutely pivotal going forward for this team. I think it's been crucial in their success thus far.
And you know what? I've had fortunately, I've had a few opportunities to go in the locker room. I'm not just saying this because I bleed green and white. I mean, you could see the camaraderie there. You can see that these guys really supported each other. And, you know, maybe Michael Sam would be better off going to the Miami Dolphins because they have a wonderful locker room, apparently. I didn't see the Miami Dolphins mentioned.
Yeah, you know, the problem is, well, there's two problems with this. First of all, some of these guys that are coming up, there's new bloggers or new writers that are trying to create headlines, and what better way to create a headline than rip the Jets or the Cowboys or Redskins? Talk about, you know, Cowboys and Redskins have a fan base that's always ready to attack, and the Jets fans, especially on social media, just go crazy. So that's the one thing. And still, for some reason, there's still this notion that Rex Ryan is the same arrogant guy that he was when he first was the head coach of the Jets. And if we learned anything, especially last year, Rex Ryan's matured as a head coach. He's galvanized the locker room. He's almost done a full 360 in terms of his approach. He's still kind of brash, but he's still, you know what I mean? He's learning. The team's united. They got rid of some of the players they should have got rid of. You know, it's developing. So I think it's a short-sighted report. It's way off base, to be honest with you. And, you know, I'm glad you didn't get the name out because it really shouldn't get much credit.
No, it really shouldn't. It just bothered me. And, you know, I was thinking, well, should I talk about it? But I just wanted to bring it up because it did bother me. And like you just articulated very well, is that I think that the sort of, you know, the circus atmosphere has left the Jets. And you know what? It's a new feeling within this organization. And Sheldon Richardson, a guy who has supported Michael Sam, is on the Jets, defensive rookie of the year. So I can't see that this would be a bad place for him to come. And I was very upset about that. But Tyson, let's move on because we do have a caller on the line. It is our friend Jude from North Carolina. So I'm just going to get him up here and let's give him his introduction. So Jude. Welcome to Jet Nation Radio. Glad to have you aboard tonight. What do you got for us?
Well, first, you mentioned that whole thing with that Michael Sam and everything. All I wanted to say was the fact that I also found it odd that he mentioned the Jets in that article, especially since that we came off a relatively okay season. There was no locker room nonsense. I mean, was he stuck in a time travel machine? He was back in 2011, because then I would agree with him, but now... I mean, he doesn't know what he's talking about, so I'll just leave it at that. And I wanted to say, regarding the draft, I know I see on Twitter a lot of that, for some reason always on Twitter, but I see a lot of people are lusting over certain like draft prospects and everything. They're getting all super excited about this guy. We got to get it wrong. We got to get it tomorrow. But the thing is, like I did this a lot last year too, but you have to realize the fact that you honestly don't really know. There's just like so many people. One guy that looks so great pre-draft could become a bust, and some other guys you never heard of can become great. So whoever Isaac picks, you just have to trust that it's going to at least.
And Jude, I agree with you. The one thing is there's a lot of speculation right now, and it's really hard to speculate when free agency hasn't taken place yet. I mean, say the Jets go out, this is just a complete, you know, throw on the wall thing, is say the Jets go out and get Jimmy Graham, which we both know is not going to happen. If they get Jimmy Graham, they're not going tight end in the first round. Or if they get a Dennis Pitt, or you know, like, so many things can happen before the draft that will change your draft board. That's why I find the mock draft kind of funny, because we have no idea what's going to be picked up before May 11th or whatever date it is. So I agree with you. I mean, we get the question all the time: is who do you take in the first round? I'm like, well, tell me who my free agent class is first, and then I'll tell you who I take in the first round. So you know, I mean, the one question I have for you, Jude, is, you know, based on what we know, last year John Idzik didn't show his cards in anything. The Jets have a lot of cap space. They have, you know, they have a lot of maneuverability. Do you have faith in Idzik and his new scouting staff to make the right decision? And the reason why I ask you is because we had a chat on Twitter, me and you going back and forth. There's a good chance the wide receiver class, say the top three or four guys, are going to be gone. They're going to resign with their team. Bolden, Tate, Macklin. If they all go back to their team, there could be a bidding war for a guy like Emmanuel Sanders. So do you have faith in Idzik to say, you know what, he's not going to break the bank on Eric Decker. He may go, not bargain shopping, but he may look for a lesser player. Do you have faith in him to do that?
I think Idzik can do that. I try my best not to get caught up in the whole new guy syndrome that people have, in which the new guy's automatically better than the last guy because he's not the last guy. But from what he did in free agency last year, I think Idzik would be relatively reasonable with what, especially more with the increased amount of money we have as opposed to last year. He'll be more reasonable with contracts. He probably won't overpay anyone, but the important thing is he won't lowball anyone either. So there's going to be a nice compromise, so to speak. We'll be able to target people we are more interested in realistically acquiring.
Do you think at this point, I said this kind of last week, but like last year, you know, John Idzik, his first year, everybody was just so happy Tannenbaum was gone. You know, he made moves, he traded Rivas. Everybody, no matter what Idzik did, everybody praised him. It was great. Now this year, it's like, all right, now you have cap space. Now you have draft picks. So he has, like, last year he had no wiggle room. This year he has plenty of it. I mean, he has got an open cupboard at this point. So do you think he has a lot more pressure this year than last year?
Oh, definitely. I mean, it's all on him now. I mean, he sort of got a mulligan last year because of, as you said, restriction with cap space and draft picks and all that stuff. But this year, he has to bring in quality people who can compete, who can play for the Jets. If he doesn't, he's going to start to slowly grow on him and Rex, too, by extension. And so if Rex gets fired for some reason, the year after that, that's when the Heat's going to really start pulling on Idzik. You get what I'm saying, right?
Idzik now has an opportunity. Last year was kind of – most of Idzik's moves last year were to set up for this year. I mean, you could tell he was disciplined. He made the minimal amount of moves he had to make to set up for this year and put himself in a position moving forward, not just for 2014, 15, 16, to be competitive in free agency and to use his draft. And he's definitely set the team up, financially at least, for a long-term run. But, dude, I got this question for you. If you had a redraft going into last year, okay, and I'll give you three names. Tavon Austin – Cordarrelle Patterson, and Tyson, help me out one second. I'm drawing a blank. The Houston receiver from Clemson. I'm blanking on his name for a second.
DeAndre Hopkins.
Thank you, Jude. I had a momentary lapse there. Okay, so you have a choice, a redraft, and you can get them for the Jets this year after their 1 year in the NFL last year. Put them in order 1 through 3. One being the one you'd want the most, three being the one you want the least.
Cordarrelle Patterson, Tavon Austin, DeAndre Hopkins.
So you'd want DeAndre Hopkins the least. Is that what you're saying?
Yes.
Now, do you know DeAndre Hopkins probably had the better year out of all of them? I'm going to look up his stats real quick here. But I think he had like 800 yards receiving, and he didn't exactly have the greatest quarterback throwing him the ball. Because I would do it like this. Now, look, if this is your opinion, I'll give you DeAndre Hopkins' number, see if you want to change it. If you don't, you don't have to. Okay, 52 receptions, 802 yards, 15 average, 2 touchdowns. So do you still want to keep Tavon Austin second? It's up to you. I mean, I'm just laying that out there to you.
It's tough. I mean, Cordarrelle Patterson is my obvious first, because of what he does on kick returns and all that stuff. I mean, that's the kind of thing that really just separates you from the rest of those wide receivers in that group.
Okay, well, my point is that Tavon Austin was taken 8th overall. It's not a knock on Tavon Austin. He might just need to be utilized better in the offense. But Cordarrelle Patterson was taken 29th. I mean, look, everybody loves Sammy Watkins. Don't get me wrong, I do too. And if he's there at 18, he's a no-brainer. I mean, John Idzik should run the card up there. But the point is this, that Sammy Watkins is gone. You know, you might look and say, oh, Sammy Watkins is gone. He was the no-brainer. And Tavon Austin was the no-brainer for the Jets last year. But there were guys, receivers taken behind him, Robert Woods, Keenan Allen, you know, who had good seasons for their team. So I'm just saying this. Don't just pigeonhole yourself and say, well, we have this need here. We have to have this guy or that guy, and it's break the bank or whatever it is. There are options out there, and there are a lot of good receivers out there. There are a lot of good tight ends that you can maybe get in the second round, third round. You know what? You only get one first-round pick this year, the Jets. They have one. They're sitting at 18. They better make it count.
They better make it count no matter who it is.
I agree.
Completely. Well, that's great to know. But, Drew, listen, we want to wrap up, and we really appreciate you calling in every week to Jet Nation Radio. We appreciate your input on Twitter. And, you know, really, that's really a thing I want people to look at and just sort of keep in the back of their minds that, you know what, patience, the good teams are patient. They wait for the bad teams to make poor decisions and let guys fall to them who end up being superstars. And I think that that's what John Idzik brings to the table. But we're going to let you go now, Jude. Always a pleasure to speak with you, and you have a good night.
You too. Have a good one. Bye-bye.
Okay, take care. That was our friend Jude there from North Carolina. And, yeah, you know, Tyson, we were talking a little bit about this before we came on, about, you know, the wide receiver class, safety class. You know, Jarius Byrd, I was speaking to someone who's up in Buffalo, and he was talking about Jarius Byrd, that apparently they're close on a long-term deal. That's what he's hearing. And that, look, I mean, the franchise tag, the teams can now franchise tag a player. It started on the 17th, which is Monday. They have till March 3rd. So if the Bills are really that close with Jarius Byrd, and they're going to franchise him if they're not quite there yet, and they have until July 15th then to work out a long-term deal. Same thing with T.J. Ward from the Cleveland Browns, and you're hearing that Macklin wants to go back to the Eagles. And so, Tyson, are you hearing these kind of things that maybe there'll be a little bit less options in free agency?
Yeah, and that's the one thing, like, when we first started this, everybody's like, oh, there's so many options at receiver, we're all excited, you know, we're saying, you know, Jeremy Mack will be a great fit and this and that. If you look at it, all the recent reports, there's a chance that Golden Tate could be off the board, Anquan Boldin could be off the board, Macklin could be off the board, and you may be stuck in two things. You may be stuck in a bidding war for a guy like Emmanuel Sanders or Eric Decker, or you may have to start looking at other options. Maybe do you take a look at a guy like a Kenny Britt or a Jacoby Jones or, you know, a guy like this? I mean, it's like it starts making it very interesting. So I guess, Dennis, this is the same question I asked Jude. Do you think John Idzik takes the approach where he gets into a bidding war for a guy like Emmanuel Sanders?
Well, he doesn't seem like the type. He seems like the type who has a budget. Now, look, if you sweeten the pot a little bit, and you know you can get the guy, but you know eventually you got to cut bait, right? Eventually you got to say, look, there are other teams out there, and the Jets are going to have cap space to be competitive, but the Oakland Raiders have $60 million in cap space. So you know what? If they really want a guy, they're going to get him. The Jacksonville Jaguars have cap space. The Cleveland Browns have cap space. You know, there are other teams out there, and unfortunately, when a player hits the open market, he's free to negotiate with everybody. So now you're competing against everybody. This is why I want to just quickly touch on this, Austin Howard. Apparently the Jets are negotiating with Austin Howard, and I really hope that they do lock him up before he hits free agency because, look, if it doesn't work out, they don't like the price, go to free agency and see what happens. But then a market's going to be set by him by other teams. And you don't know whether that's going to be less expensive or more expensive than what you're working with now. So a lot of teams try to lock up guys before they hit the open market because it's an unknown. But you're right. I just think Idzik's going to say this. It's going to say, look, if this guy is not worth the money we're paying him, it's going to hurt us in the long run. We're just not going to do it. We're going to stick to our budget like the good teams do, and we're going to look in another direction if it's a Kellen Winslow type of person. Now, please don't cringe, everybody, at receiver, at tight end, wherever it is, a stopgap person and use your draft. You know what? Then that's what he's going to do.
Yeah, and the thing is, like, you know, we all, you know, as fans, we all want the big name. We want to make the splash. We want to do this. But it may be a case of instead of getting Eric Decker, we may get, like, a Brandon LaFell and maybe a Miles Austin. And if we honestly assess where we're at, that's still better than Clyde Gates and Stephen Hill. So it's like, even though you're not making the big splash, you're upgrading the talent on the roster and maybe at a more affordable price. And that's, you know, like, you hate being like that, but you're not being frugal, you're being smart. You know what I'm saying? So I think, and that's one thing I wanted to ask you is, if this does play out like it could, I mean, this is all speculation on our part, but do you consider the trade market? I mean, you're going to have 10-plus draft picks. I mean, I understand you can't trade your compensatory picks, but do you look at the trade market? Do you look for a Doug Baldwin, or do you look for somebody like that for teams that have a surplus of receivers or have cap issues? Do you consider that?
Well, do you think that the Seahawks are going to want to trade Doug Baldwin? I haven't really heard that. I mean, he's a restricted free agent. Looks like he's going to get a second-round tender. So, I mean, don't you think that would probably be like a little bit over $2 million for Baldwin? I got to look up the exact price. Let me see here. It would be $2.1 million for a one-year tender if he got the second round, which would mean that the Jets would have to give him a contract offer that the Seahawks couldn't match, and then they would lose their second-round pick. Do you want to lose your second-round pick for Doug Baldwin? You're going to have to give him big money.
Right, and I'm saying no. I would say no to that, but I'm saying it's like, do you explore teams like that? And if you figure if they re-sign Golden Tate, which is if they already have Percy Harvin, cut Sidney Rice, I'm not sure what they're going to do with him. I mean, they have a lot of money invested in receiver. So do you look at teams like that where it's like, all right, maybe we can raid them and make an offer they can't refuse? You know, like, do you get that aggressive, or do you say, you know what, we'll go for these guys like Brandon LaFell or Jacoby Jones or maybe Miles Austin if he gets cut, and then go to the draft and get your guy there?
I think that's more the case. The one thing with, like, a Doug Baldwin, if Seattle was looking to move him, I think it would be more likely a Chris Ivory situation, which Chris Ivory was a second-round tender of the New Orleans Saints. And he signed his tender, and once he got under contract before the draft, the Jets then traded him for a fourth-round pick. You know, traded a fourth-round pick to the New Orleans Saints and got Chris Ivory's rights and his contract, and then they gave him a longer-term contract. So could that happen, that scenario take place with a restricted free agent? I think that could, or maybe with a team around the draft time, possibly somebody, like you're saying, that's possible. I don't see John Idzik giving up a second-round pick. I'm sorry. They're just too valuable as far as what you get. You're getting a four-year contract. You're getting a guy, again, youth. Well, here's the thing with our buddy Jude just called last week and talked about Anquan Boldin. Anquan Boldin's going to be 34. I mean, this Jets team needs to be about youth, speed, and playmaking ability. When was the last time we saw a guy catch a behind the line of scrimmage 2-yard pass and turn it into like a 30-yard gain? I mean, like, never. So that's what they're missing. So I don't think Anquan Boldin. I mean, he's going to sign probably back with the 49ers, but he doesn't really fit what the Jets need. They don't need a possession receiver. They need somebody with some legs, with some speed, and who can go out there and make plays.
Yeah, well, I may disagree with you there. I mean, I respect Anquan Boldin as a player, and I would take, it depends on the price tag. I mean, I'd rather have Anquan Boldin than Stephen Hill and Clyde Gates. So I keep going back to guys that are there.
Okay.
It's like, I want the receiver group upgraded no matter how we do it. Obviously, I think Boldin would probably, he'd probably command too much. But I think it's going to be interesting, man. And the funny thing you always hear is like, the hometown discount and all these other things. Let's be honest. When the guy said it's not about money, it's about money. So these guys, if they have value and say the top three or four free agents go back to their teams and re-sign, like you said earlier, the price tag on all these guys goes up. So now it's like you may have to spend more than you want to, and you're competing against teams that have significant cap space more than the Jets have. So it's going to be interesting, Dennis. Like, you want to get receivers in the draft, but as we've learned in the past, there are no guarantees no matter what their name is. They could be – it's boom or bust. So it's like, what do you do? Do you consider – the question I have, and I had a conversation with somebody about this today, is do you consider a guy like Kenny Britt, who off the field has been a complete nightmare? His career has been a mess. But, based on that, he's got talent, and he's going to come cheap. Do you consider a guy like Kenny Britt?
Sure. I mean, this is what you're saying. If these guys get out of your price range, the top guys, we'll call it the wave. The first wave of free agency is out of your price range. Then you got the second wave of free agency. And as we learned last year, the first wave of free agency was real short. I mean, you can only probably maybe name a handful of guys. Mike Wallace. I mean, the Dolphins were very aggressive in free agency. But other than them, I don't really remember too many teams. And then a lot of guys who were pretty decent kind of hung out there for a long time. So, is it just going to say, all right, well, on the 8th of March, when you can start negotiating with the player's agent and then have a contract in place once free agency hits, is that going to be Idzik's approach here? Because that was kind of Tannenbaum. Boom, out of the gate, boom, we signed guys when he had money. So it will be interesting to see what Idzik does. I believe that Idzik comes from the patience philosophy. Wait, we'll get guys, we'll fill holes, we'll use our draft if we need to. I think he comes from that mold. And you look at Seattle, and you look kind of the way they built a lot of those guys that were on that Super Bowl team. They drafted in later rounds. I know they picked up some free agents because they had some money to fill gaps. Michael Bennett, Cliff of Real played a real big part. But, look at their secondary. I mean, was their entire secondary, I believe, was all drafted players, right? Cam Chancellor,
yep.
Nate Allen, Sherman, and Al Browner. I don't know if he was drafted or picked up, and now he was suspended. And they had Walter Thurman, a couple other guys. So, K.J. Wright was drafted by them. Oddly enough, Bobby Wagner, their middle linebacker, was drafted at 47 in 2012, the spot the Jets traded out of. So, I think that Idzik comes from that, for the most part, you build through the draft. And I want to just lay this out here, Tyson, for people to kind of understand this. when you look at the draft is about the future. I know that you're trying to, and I like to use the guy's own words, so I'll use it. John Isaac said this about the draft. Between needs and best player available, you try to marry the two as best you can. And that's his words. And I understand that philosophy. Try to marry the two between needs and best player available. But the fact is this. You said it yourself. This player has no NFL experience, nothing to go by. And even Jude said it. You never know what's going to happen with this player. So you're building a board based upon the player that's going to give me the best NFL career moving forward, and that's how you're drafting by. So, you know, a free agent has a body of work, and you're paying for their past. Now, you're assuming some sort of production moving forward, but that's why they cost more money, because they have a proven track record, and now you're paying for their past and hoping to get that kind of production moving forward. There's nothing set in stone that any of these things work out, but that's the way you got to look at these two entities. And if people start looking at it like that, they'll come to understand that, look, I might need a tight end, but if Eric Ebron is not worthy of the 18th pick, now maybe he is, but if he's not worthy of it, you got to go with the guy who maybe fits a need and is worthy of that pick.
Yeah, no doubt there. You know, it's funny, like, you know, right now everybody in Jet Nation thinks, we're all saying, we need guys in offense, we need tight ends, we need receivers. And based on what's available and how things can roll out, I could see one of two things happening. I could see the Jets drafting a defensive player in the first round if it's the best guy available. If there's an outside linebacker there or a safety that they fall in love with, they may very well take him. And the second thing is, and this is something I didn't really believe before, but I think could happen now, is that their big splash guy they signed in free agency could be an outside linebacker. It could be a defensive guy, which we all laughed about earlier, like, no, spend money on offense, upgrade the offense. If you go based on value and where you get the most bang for your buck, would you rather spend money on, like, a Brian Arakpo or Jason Worlds? Or like a guy like, you know, like, or whoever, like a Jacoby Jones or Golden Tate. Like, it may go based on value, and they may get more value on defensive player in terms of spending money. And that's something that I didn't think I would ever say before, but do you think that could be possible?
Well, I think this also. I think if they do go to free agency and they kind of fill some gaps in the defense through free agency, now they could be more aggressive on the offensive side in the draft. You know, if they get a Jason Worlds, like I've been hearing, you know, Dee Ford's name, Anthony Barr, this Khalil Mack, who's an outside linebacker, Kyle Van Noy, you know, these kind of guys maybe in the second round, maybe even in the first round. Again, you don't know if they're going to trade back. There's a lot of scenarios. But if the Jets did get, say, Brian Arakpo, let's say he wasn't franchised, and they paid him a ton of money and brought him in here, then they probably wouldn't be looking so much in the draft, and they could use that pick that they were going to use on an outside linebacker for an offensive player. So I think that definitely free agency has an effect upon the draft, offense or defense. If they are able to fill the offense a little bit with playmakers, maybe they can look at a defensive player in the third or in the second or whenever. So you're right. I mean, filling some holes in defense might have more of an effect upon the draft. But Tyson, I want to get into this with you a little bit. And it's some of these reserve future contracts that the Jets signed. And just so everyone understands what that is exactly, is when the season ends, teams can start signing players for the 2014 season, even though it's still 2013, and they're basically held in reserve until March 11th when they're actually on the roster. And that's, you know, your practice squad is not protected. So a lot of times what will happen is teams will sign a lot of the members of their practice squad to these reserve future contracts to protect them going into 2014. And I just wanted to throw some names out there of guys who I think maybe possibly could be diamonds in the rough that the Jets have picked up. And I wanted to get your opinion upon them. And the first guy I wanted to talk about was Dwight Jones. Now, he's a receiver out of North Carolina. He's 6'3", 230. And in 2011 season in North Carolina, he actually came out in the 2012 draft. I think he went undrafted, went to the Texans. I believe maybe they signed him, and then he never showed up for camp. Now, he dealt with a personal issue. His young son, I believe, passed away. And maybe his mind wasn't on football. You could kind of understand it. But he has signed with the Jets. And, you know, again, who knows where his mind is, what happened. It's a very tragic situation. Maybe it's kind of behind him a little bit. He's gotten back into focusing on football. But in 2011, he had 85 receptions for almost 1,200 yards and 12 touchdowns in North Carolina. So, you know, the guy has ability. If he could harness it, he might be a diamond in the rough there.
No, I agree. I mean, he has the size that you're looking for. And if you look at John Isaac, a lot of the free agent guys he brought in, the receivers, you know, it's all big, like David Nelson, 6'5". These guys have all got some size to them. And, Dennis, the best thing is if Rex Ryan sticks to his mantra, it's about competition. Bring in as many guys as you can to compete for the job and let the best man win. I mean, Greg Salas, nobody even knew who he was. We heard things about him with New England. We all heard he came in and made plays. I mean, David Nelson's out there. So, I mean, there's definitely potential there, and it's exciting. And it, the one thing that's important is it'll make guys like Stephen Hill accountable. It's like put pressure on him, make the best man win, bring in guys with size, bring in guys with speed, bring in hungry guys, guys that are dying to get into the NFL, dying to make a team, and make it competitive. And I think the more the merrier. I think it's good, and there's definitely potential there.
All right, here's another name that I wanted to throw at you. It's Brandon Harden. Now, he's a safety. He's a 6'3", 217. He was drafted by the Chicago Bears in the third round. He's out of Oregon State. In 2012, he was drafted. Now, he's had a lot of injuries. I don't remember the exact extent. I think he spent all this year on injury reserve with the Bears, if I remember correctly. But I know scouting him, so to speak, not that I scout a lot, but what I saw of him, he had some really good potential coming out of Oregon State. He's not lived up to it. Let's put it that way. And the Bears released him. The Jets have now signed him. But, again, we're looking for diamonds in the rough here. A guy who has talent, who had was pretty highly regarded coming out of Oregon State, was taken by the Bears in the third round, hasn't worked out, but is now on the Jets roster, and again, in a position of need. And you wonder, I mean, maybe this guy could make a contribution.
No doubt. I mean, look at Jaquan Jarrett. I mean, with the Eagles, they gave up on him. It's like, and see, there's two advantages with this one, is Rex Ryan and Dennis Thurman. So if this guy, if there's anything to get anything out of this kid, these guys are going to be able to do it. And like you said, it's a position of need, where it's ultra-competitive. I mean, there's a lot of stories coming out about Ed Reed and all these things and, you know, Antonio Allen and Josh Bush and all these guys. But it's like playmakers, we need guys that can cover tight ends. You need all these things. So if anybody can get this, in my opinion, if anybody can get something out of these guys, it's Thurman and Rex, especially on defense. So, again, you hope, and it's competition. If he can beat somebody out and the other guy gets cut, so be it.
Yeah, just two quick names here, which we don't want to get into too much. Rontez Miles was on the Jets maybe for a week or so, you know, kind of up and down the practice squad. He's a safety, so he's definitely going to be in the mix there. Rashai Dowling, who was drafted, he was actually drafted 33rd overall, I believe, in 2011 by the Patriots. I have to double-check that, but I believe it was 2011. Had a lot of problems with injuries, et cetera. He's out of Virginia, but, you know, he's been on the Jets practice squad. He'll be coming into camp. You know, guy drafted 33rd overall, must have some talent. We'll see if they can harness that. Tim Fudger, who's out of Vanderbilt, was a seventh-round draft pick of the Colts in 2012. He had 13.5 sacks in 2011 for Vanderbilt. So, you know, he's a linebacker. He's kind of a pass rush guy, you know, a guy to keep your eye on. And also Dalton Freeman, who's the center out of Clemson. Last year was having a pretty good camp, had a little bit of injury problem with his ankle, ended up on the practice squad the whole year. I'm wondering if Khalib Schlatteroff might be seeing the door. If Freeman has a pretty decent year, he can play guard also. So, you know, maybe I mentioned four guys. Maybe you want to just touch on which one, you know, kind of piques your interest the most.
Mine, to be honest with you, is Dalton Freeman. And the reason why is this. The Jets have been extremely lucky with Nick Mangold. I mean, they should be counting their lucky stars to him that not only he does not get hurt, I mean, he's the anchor of the line. He's a leader. He's an anchor, but it's like he doesn't get hurt. So I mean, he's getting up in years. All those snaps are going to start adding up. You need a guy that can step in center, and if Mangold misses half the game, the guy can step in and be confident. You know what I mean? So Dalton Freeman, everybody was raving about him until he got hurt. So for me, a guy like that would be awesome, because if he can show his worth, you're not breaking the bank to bring in a backup for Mangold. You know what I mean? It'll give you value at a very relatively cheap cost. So for me personally, Dalton Freeman's one. I mean, Rontez Miles, I know a lot of Jets fans are very high on him. He really, he never really got this chance. But for me, it's Dalton Freeman. Who is it for you?
I mean, out of those guys, I mean, the first two I mentioned are the most intriguing to me. But out of those guys, I guess it would be Freeman too, because Miles is what he is. He made the team. He was on the team for a little while. He played a little bit. I think he's kind of a step above these other guys. So I look at it like Freeman, like you said, a backup to Mangold, somebody who is a true center, who played center in college, could play a little guard. And, you know, I always cringed when I thought of Khalib Schlatteroff starting a game. I really can't wait till the Jets have a viable backup there at center. Look, we hope Mangold never gets hurt, but
things do happen. This is the NFL, and what if Mangold has to miss a game? I really would like to feel comfortable that the guy can step in and you know, do the job. So I agree with you. I kind of would like to see what Dalton Freeman brings. He was on the practice squad for the whole year, so they obviously like what he brings to the table, and they're going to bring him into you know, the off-season workouts in 2014, and they're going to see if he can make the team. So, yeah, and again, value there. If he works out, he could play a couple different positions, maybe even play guard. So that works out great. I wanted to get into a little bit about the combine coming up, and maybe we could go through a couple things because the combine is coming up, and I wanted to go through some positions of need for the Jets and what's going, you know, some names. We'll kind of throw them out there. Maybe as kind of names to watch if you're going to watch the combine or keep up with the news on what's going on within the combine, some of these names that might be thrown out there. And, you know, it was interesting because my colleague Ron Pickett, who we've had on for time to time, and we should have on real soon because of all the draft stuff that we're doing, he did an article about running backs in the draft potentially that would fit the Jets. And, you know, I saw a lot of things on Twitter, people saying, well, we don't need a running back. But, you know, you need playmakers, right? I mean, a guy like Giovanni Bernard, for example, our friend Southern Jet from Jet Nation Forum called us up last year, and he was raving about Giovanni Bernard. Now, the Jets probably couldn't have gotten Giovanni Bernard where he went, realistically. But, you know, a guy like a Giovanni Bernard type of running back was supposed to be Mike Goodson. I know it didn't work out. But, you know, if they had that type of guy in their offense, think about what a valuable weapon on 3rd and 3 or 3rd and 4 that player would be.
Well, I guess, and I agree, but here's the question then, is Mike Goodson back this year?
You know what, if I take a stab at it now, and I'm going to say, and I actually put an article up on Jet Nation about 5 questions facing the Jets, and one of them was, do you say goodbye to Goodson? And my opinion is that you do say, you do release Goodson, just because, look, I mean, the legal issues, the knee, you know, he's going to be 100% coming back from the knee. My opinion is, Go into the draft, use one of your 2 third-round picks, find one of these scat backs, whatever you want to call it. Look, Leon Washington was a 4th-round pick. I mean, we have not name me the Leon Washington type of player or the Brad Smith, he was a 4th pick also. The guy who you just took the ball 2 yards and we went, wow, you know? So we just haven't had that guy. Can you name me that guy we've had since Leon Washington broke his leg?
No, I mean, that's what was supposed to be Joe McKnight. But, you know, it's like, the thing is,
yeah,
it's just
that's
like,
what he's supposed to be.
But, you know, it's just like, and that's the kind of guy, if you can find that kind of guy, it makes guys like Josh Cribbs expendable. It kind of cleans up the back end of your roster because you're suiting other needs. You're getting a pass catcher out of backfield, you're getting a returner, you're getting a jack of all trades, which gives you roster flexibility, which is super important. I'm torn on Goodson, though. I mean, you like what you saw out of him, but then it's like, this off-the-field stuff, it's like, come on, man, you just got here. But you can't dispute his explosibility. You saw when he got the ball, Dennis, it was like, he turned the corner, he was gone. It's just, I mean, do you know, if the Jets do cut him, do they gain the cap space or do they lose cap space?
They gain cap space. So probably, I think it's about $1.3 million. I think that's what my article says. They gain cap space. And you know what? I just think the knee, sometimes those ACLs of running backs, you know, they lose a little step. And it's, again, the Jets is younger, faster. Look, the Jets have drafted a running back. We've got a call on the line we're going to bring on in a moment. But the Jets have drafted a running back. They drafted in 2009, they drafted Sean Green. In 2010, they drafted Joe McKnight, and they drafted John Connor. In 2011, they drafted Bilal Powell. In 2012, they drafted Terrence Gannaway. In 2013, they didn't draft Ivory, but they traded a draft pick for him, and they drafted Tommy Bohannon. And I think they should draft another running back this year. Look, Bilal Powell is going to be a free agent after 2014. Think ahead a little bit. Think like a GM. Bilal Powell is a free agent after 2014. I like Bilal Powell, very serviceable, like a pawn. We'll call Bilal Powell a pawn. Can catch the ball out of the backfield, can run and give you a nice per average. But he doesn't have that breakaway speed. You know, he's not Giovanni Bernard. He's not Darren Sproles type of guy, and that's what I'm looking for. That guy, when he touches the ball, like Leon Washington, he used to catch the ball 2 yards and take it 70 yards, and your eyes would come out of your head like, wow. You know, that's the guy we've been missing in the backfield, and that would really help Geno Smith, I think, and I got a couple of numbers here I want to go over. But first, I want to bring a caller on. Tyson got he's been holding on for a few minutes here. And it's Liam from Canada. I think he wants to talk about the draft, and he's a first-time caller. So, Liam, we have to give you a proper welcome here because you're a first-time caller. So there we
Thank
go.
You.
Dennis and Tyson here. You're very welcome. Dennis and Tyson here with Jet Nation Radio. So you want to discuss the draft a little bit?
I can talk anything Jets. If you guys are, I know you're talking about, you know, some free agents, Mike Goodson. But if you want to talk about draft, this is responding to the tweet I responded to Tyson on the Jets selecting a possible defensive player at 18. And just on response to that, I cannot see that happening. I think they need to address the offense immediately, and I think they need to do with the skill position.
Yeah, and Liam, I get what you're saying, but I guess my point was this. It's like in free agency, there's a chance that you're not – I mean, the top receivers are going to be gone, and they may get re-signed with their own team. So if you look at value, would you rather overspend for a guy like Eric Decker, who is maybe a 1A type receiver, maybe a 2 receiver, or if you go and spend money on a guy like a Brian Racklow or Jason Worlds, where you know – I mean, it's like it's trying to predict where do you want to put your money to, and based on that answer, that's how you go in the draft. You know what I mean?
It's hard this year because the free agency is before the draft, and that's not something we're used to really, including in our draft talk. So if the Jets do address wide receiver, I still think they have to go young. And John Idzik, he's built through the draft. I know he's a cap guy, so he likes to build through the draft. He did that in Seattle. So I think that's what the Jets are going to do. I think they're really going to address some holes that aren't along the skill positions in the free agency. So, you know, like O-line, obviously trying to get Howard re-signed, but some holes on the defensive line and offensive line, I think that's what they're going to spend their money on. You look at teams like the Eagles, the dream team, money does not buy wins. It doesn't buy championships. The draft does. So those championships stem from those skill positions, and I think that's what the Jets need to target in the draft and not, waste money on, like I said, a 1A Eric Decker or a beat-up Jeremy Maclin.
So do you think, is it your opinion, like, you want, at 18, you want the best receiver available? Do you go by best receiver available or best tight end available, or how do you want to go in the first round?
I'd go best skill position available. I think, looking at mock drafts, I don't know if it's realistic that they're going to get the top two receivers, which seem to be, in most scenarios, Sammy Watkins or Mike Evans. Obviously, Watkins would be, a dream come true for the Jets fans to have Geno throwing to, but it's not going to be realistic unless they trade up. So if you sit back at 18, I still don't even know if Eric Ebron's going to be there at 18. So I think you need to address it. One of the guys I think is still going to be there is going to be Odell Beckham Jr. from Louisiana State, LSU. He's a combination of size and speed. He can catch and run, good route runner, very polished. I think that's what they need.
But see, and here's my question for you, and I agree with you, but would you rather – now, say the draft is going based on what you said. If you have the top two receivers gone, you have these guys gone, if you're at your fourth-ranked receiver on your draft board and your number one-ranked outside linebacker is sitting there available, based on value and team need, wouldn't it make more sense for John Idzik to take the number one outside linebacker over a fourth-ranked – just based on value – over a fourth-ranked receiver?
Well, that does make sense. I mean, that's one with taking the best player on the board available, and that's if it happens to be an outside linebacker. It's a possibility that Idzik looks at his big board instead of the need list, but I just think that it's too glaring and it's too exposed that that's not a skill, that's not a position that the Jets are even in the top probably 28 in the league. So I think no matter what, they address skill positions. I just can't see it going defense the past, I believe it's 4 years in a row. It's all been on the line or the secondary. So I think it's time to put some money and some draft picks up front onto the outside.
All right, Liam, first, before we get into something, we're going to shift gears a little bit. I'm glad you called in. We can discuss anything you want. This is like your show. You have carte blanche to talk about any topic, and I do want to get a little bit of – Tyson's going to love this too. I want to talk about the quarterbacks a little bit. But, Liam, where in Canada are you from?
I'm from Calgary, Alberta. So it's the western side of Canada.
All right, please, the western side of Canada. So now you're a Jets fan.
I bleed green. Don't ask me how I became a Jets fan. It's just a family thing, actually, passed down from my cousin. So if you run over Calgary, it's Alberta. Calgary Flames is an NHL team here. Not a whole lot of NFL fans in Calgary, but definitely one of the bigger ones, I'd say. And I mean, they said open to anything, free agency, draft, coaching staff, new personnel, whatever you want to talk about.
All right, great. Well, we have our buddy Simon calls from Toronto. I know that's a little bit away from you, but I want to talk about this because, you know, Tyson wants to talk about the quarterbacks, and you know, Gino is courtesy ESPN. Gino is actually working out down in Florida with Chris Winkie at his academy down in Florida, and he's trying to work on you know, some things down there. But I wanted to give you some numbers, and Tyson, you know I'm numbers, so Tyson, you listen to these numbers too. I want you to tell me what these numbers are. Okay, so let me just finish reading them out. 55.8, 54.3, 56.7, 54.8, and 53.8. What are those numbers? Take a guess, and I'll tell you what they are.
Quarterback rating or accuracy through the past five games, six games?
All right, Liam, you get the gold. You get the gold star. Okay, you know.
Okay.
I can't put one past Liam. That's the last 5 years of the Jets quarterbacks, you know, pass completion percentage. And my thing is this. That's their pass completion percentage. My thing is this. In today's NFL, I mean, in 2008, Brett Favre completed 65.7% of his passes. The last 1,000-yard receiver the Jets had was Jericho Cotchery in 2007. 1,130 yards. They haven't had a 1,000-yard receiver since 2007, and they haven't had a passer complete more than 60% of their passes since 2008. You know, you simply cannot be successful in the NFL. The Jets had the 31st-ranked pass offense. I heard Marty Morningwig talking on Jets.com about, you know, and Eric Allen was saying about how they ran the ball, and he did it per necessity, but you got to be better than the 31st-ranked offense. I mean, excuse me, pass offense, if you want to be successful. I think Marty Morningwig doesn't mind running the ball, but wants to mix it up a little bit. So I hear what you're saying. Maybe I want to go to Tyson first. Tyson, what do you think about these numbers, and what do you need to do to improve them besides just Geno going to an academy?
Well, I mean, there's a variety of things you got to do. I mean, you got to upgrade the talent around them, and that's the most. I mean, that's something we've all talked about.
Well, there you go. That's
times.
What Liam's saying. That's what Liam's saying. He got to upgrade the talent around him. But I guess my question back to Liam is, a guy like Emmanuel Sanders, if you think that you can get him and, you know, you sweeten the pot a little bit, and yeah, he's going to cost you a little bit more than what your budget had, but you can get him, and you know what, then you go into the draft, you draft a rookie or maybe even two, and again, this is my point. I think the Jets, to be successful, are going to have to use a mixed bag of things. So they're definitely going to have to go out and spend a little bit of their money, but they do have enough money to go out and get A-type free agents, even if they get in a little bit of a bidding war. I know there's a limit, but Liam, is that what you're saying, that you want the Jets to go out and spend the money? Because I'm a little confused. I'm not 100% sure about what you said. You want the Jets to go out and get a type A free agent. You want the Jets to go out and get a type A free agent on offense and also utilize the draft. Is that what you're saying?
I'm saying they need to spend their money in the free agency because, I mean, there's no award for most available cap space and not doing anything with it. So I think the Jets need to do something with the money they have. And that it's not just, you know, spend like a drunken sailor. I've heard you guys use that for his last week. But they need to be smart with their money. I think one thing they can splurge on, though, is Jairus Byrd. I think they need to go and improve safety. I think he's going to make an immediate impact. I mean, they kind of mishandled their relationship with Byrd. I think signing with a divisional rival would kind of stick it to the Bills. I think gangrene get their hands on a premier safety like Byrd, spend their money on that, and then kind of go low spending in the draft or low spending on the skill positions and then address that in the draft. That's probably their best approach in my eyes.
Wait, man, and I agree with you. I mean, the rumor is that, I mean, Dennis talked about this earlier, the rumor that, you know, Jairus Byrd's going to get re-signed at Buffalo. T.J. Ward probably get re-signed at Cleveland. So those safeties may get taken off the board. But, I mean, I agree with you. If what you can't get in free agency, you address in the draft. I have a question for you. This is something that Dennis and I have argued about for probably 2 weeks now. Is what is your thought on the quarter? What is your thought on the quarterback position? There's a notion by some fans that this is Geno Smith's job. Bring in just some average guy behind him, hold the clipboard, and just be there. You know, if Geno gets hurt, he comes in. Or do you say, you know what, Geno comes back, but I want to bring in competition. I want to bring in a Chad Henne, a Michael Vick, a Jason Campbell. I want to bring in somebody that can actually beat him out. What is your take on the quarterback position?
Well, as much as I'd like to say just to bring in a viable backup and then give Geno the reins from there, that's not really the position the Jets are in right now. What they did with Sanchez, they took him fifth overall and then kind of handed him the position. I mean, they gave Mark Brunell, I think, as a backup. There's not really anybody trying to, you know, push Mark Sanchez, and he got complacent, and guess what? He regressed. So I think with Gino, you need to throw him into the fire again, and you need to throw him into the fire with another hot quarterback. I'm not saying go get Michael Vick and turn this into a circus once again. I'm saying get someone who can throw the ball and can be daily accurate with the ball and who's found success in this league. Either that in free agency or address it in the draft. I mean, what if by some reason, I mean, mock drafts we're 4 months away still. So mock drafts can be completely upside down by the time April rolls around, and the order could be totally different. So if Bridgewater, or one of the top four quarterbacks, still sitting there at 18, I wouldn't be surprised if John Idzik actually took a quarterback there as well and threw another rookie into the competition along with a free agent just to get the best quarterback product on the field as possible.
Liam, I can tell you right now, if John Idzik takes a quarterback in the first round, I'm going to drink beer for 2 days straight.
I know, I'm right with you. I'll be at the pub with you.
But I mean, my question, I guess,
I can't leave it out.
But I mean, so you kind of already took out Mike Vick out of the equation, which I'm not opposed to bringing in Mike Vick. I think that, I mean, the off-the-field thing's kind of gone. He's kind of refurbished his image. I think he's back on track. But, I mean, is there a guy, a veteran guy that you would consider? Is it a Chad Henne? Is it, like, who would kind of pique your interest?
As much as I hate to say it, I think Matt Schaub would probably be someone I'd look in bringing in. It's kind of under the radar, kind of a lot less under the radar, I should say, than Mike Vick, who would, when you know, you bring the tabloids and the headlines into New York, and it's just what we need after another Tim Tebow circus. I don't even want to mention that name and bring up a whole other world of discussion, but I think bringing in Mike Vick would just cause a little bit too much distraction, and that's kind of something the team actually got away from in 2013. They have to stay away from 2014. I think Matt Schaub is kind of guy that if he lost the job, he'd kind of sit quietly on the bench rather than make a fuss about it like Tito did.
All right, Liam, listen, we're going to wrap up the call, but I know Matt Schaub. You mentioned Matt Schaub, and not me, but this is what Tyson's thinking in his mind right now, okay? Because I know Tyson does not like Matt Schaub, but listen, yeah. Liam, we really appreciate you. We really appreciate you calling in to Jet Nation Radio tonight, being a first-time caller, calling all the way from Canada. It's great to get the international flavor. You know, listen, the green and white, it stretches all over the earth. So we really appreciate
Absolutely.
You calling in. We appreciate your insight, and we really hope that you call us back again. You know, anytime. We're here every Tuesday night at 8 o'clock, and we appreciate the support. And please call us back again sometime in the near future.
I'll be looking to do so. Thanks, guys. Good talk.
All right, Liam. Thank you, sir. Take care and have a good night.
Yeah.
Bye now.
See you later.
All right, that was our buddy Liam. And now we have I'm going to go right to another caller we have, because I mentioned his name, and he shall appear, but we have to give him his music.
Yeah, tease him a lot, because we got him on the spot. Welcome back. Welcome back. Welcome back. Welcome back.
And it's our buddy Simon from Canada. Now, you must have heard his name, and he decided to give us a call in. So, Simon, Dennis, and Tyson here with Jet Nation Radio. What do you got for us? Because we haven't heard from you. I know we were off for a few weeks, and the season ended. And now we're back for a brand new year of Jet Nation Radio and Jets football. So what do you got for us?
Hey, guys. You know what? It's great to have you guys back on. Past few Tuesdays were terrible.
Well, you know what, Simon?
Dennis
has it written in his contract. He needed like a couple-week break, so we had no choice.
Yeah, me and Mike Francesa, we have simultaneous vacations, so we can hang out together.
It's all right.
So what do you got for us, Simon?
I hate to disagree with my fellow Canadian, but
okay.
I feel as we should give Gino every first-team snap to see what we can really get out of the kid. Well, I feel it's like a waste of a second-round pick just to bring him in and have him sitting on the bench for some has-been like a Schaub or like a Vic or someone. I don't mind if we bring like a third or fourth-round quarterback and kind of like if Gino really screws it up, bring him in. But like I just want him to see what he has this year. If not, I'll be the first one to say it. Let Rex Ryan go and start it all over, and hopefully we have a top five pick after.
Simon, I could not disagree with you any more than this. We're going to ruin the conversation right here because I cannot disagree anymore. So,
come on, Tyson. Why?
Because in my opinion, it's like the Jets are going to have draft picks and cap space. They're going to have resources to improve their team. If they went 8-8 last year, there's a very good chance they should field a very good competitive team this year. Why put all that on Geno Smith? I mean, it's like if you could bring in another quarterback, if Geno falters after 2 weeks and you have to bench him, I don't want to bring in Matt Sims. I want to bring in a guy that can win games and go on a run with this team. Like, why just say, okay, you know what, Geno Smith blew it, season's over, let's wait, let's fire Rack. Why? That could all be prevented by bringing a veteran guy that's been there, done that, and the season's not over. And it's like, and the thing is, if the veteran guy does beat out Geno, but guess what? Geno's not good enough then. I mean, that's, I mean, what do you think? It's, for me, it's like, I'm not handing Geno anything. He showed flashes. He's a young quarterback. He's still developing. If you bring in a guy, no matter who it is, and he beats Geno out, guess what? Geno's beat then. Don't you think, Dennis?
You know what? Whoever the Jets bring in, if they bring in Michael Vick, who has not played a full season since 2006, okay, if they bring Michael Vick in here, who had a quarterback rating of 86 last year in 7 games, 78 the year before in 10 games, I'm sorry. You bring Michael Vick in here at 34 years old, and he beats out Geno Smith, I might as well just take my tickets and sell them as quickly as possible because the season is over. Geno Smith has to be – look, I mentioned those numbers. Geno Smith has to start completing over 60% of his passes, cut down the turnovers. Do you know what? He was on a team last year that didn't have very many offensive weapons that went 8-8. So, you know what? Put some weapons around him. Like, I keep talking about this running back, and in time, I'm going to let you come back in a second here. Here's a scenario for everybody to consider. First round, Jets are 18. Look at their board. They say, you know, there's no one. 18 is a weird position because there may be a no-brainer decision. There might be a little, say, hey, you know what, we can trade back to, say, 27 and pick up some later-round picks. And here where I'm going with this. Let's say they go to 27 and they get Kadeem Carey, the running back out of Arizona, who I really like. Guy can do everything, okay, catch the ball, do everything, okay, at 27. And then the Jets trade up into the second round and get 2 second-round picks. Now, here's where I'm going. Let's sign back in. The Buffalo Bills had 2 second-round picks last year, Robert Woods and Kiko Alonso. I'm not saying that the Jets are going to strike gold on their 2 second-round picks if they had it, but there's more than one way to skin a cat here. And think outside the box a little bit. You know what? Why not, if your board reads that way and you have two to tango, meaning a trading partner, why not think about trading back to 25 or 27, picking up an Allen Robinson or a Jordan Matthews? You know, I mean, again, there's a lot of different ways that you can go here. And I think that people pigeonhole themselves and say, well, we need a tight end, so we got to pick Eric Ebron. But is Eric Ebron the 18th best player in this draft? Again, I don't know. That's what the Jets should decide. And if he's not, they have to look to go in another direction. Simon, I agree with you 100%. I don't want no has-been in here like Matt Schaub or Michael Vick or whatever. Bring back David Garrard. You know why, Simon? And I'll let him in.
God.
Because David Garrard will give you the same exact thing that Michael Vick will give you for $4 or $5 million less. Simon, go ahead, sir.
See, the whole thing with trading back, if we trade back, please, God, do not draft a running back. I think that is the easiest position to find in the fourth, fifth, sixth round. I really want, like, I want someone that defenses have to, like, at least care about. We had no one last year. Even, like, a Jason Morrow, he might be a late first-round pick. If it was like that, I wouldn't mind trading back. But personally, I'm in love with Marquise Lee. I don't know why. He just seems like he has a lot of big play potential. He was injured this past year. If this was last year's draft, he could have been number one, like, number one out of the, like, wide receivers. Savers.
But Simon, I guess my question to you, Simon, is, so say the Jets stay at 18, and they're there, and you have your top two or three receivers are off the board already, and this is a question I asked Liam, the same thing was, would you be willing to take the fourth best receiver just because you have a desperate need for a receiver if your number one outside linebacker is still available?
Oh, no way. Oh, no. I would choose a Khalil Mack or, like, C.J. Mosley, I think, out of Alabama. Like, I don't mind that. I don't want to overreach just to say, hey, first round, like, receiver, so to kind of quiet everyone. But I just want a playmaker. I don't care if he is a linebacker or a safety, but I would rather first, like, a tight end, like an Eric Ebron or even a Mike Evans, which I really think is going to be a good player. Because we're not going to get no Sammy Watkins unless we trade the whole house, right?
Yeah, this could be basically impossible, I think, at this point.
Yeah, it's not going to happen. See, that's what I kind of say. I'm tired of these 7-9 seasons, 8-8, and then we can't get a quarterback. That's what I'm saying. If this next year doesn't go well, why not just tank it? Like, I hate saying it, but I'm tired of just having no quarterback, man. Like, just
nothing. Before we talk about blowing up seasons, now, would you, I mean, it's my belief that the top three or four receivers are going to be off the board, just based on getting re-signed. So, to me, it's going to be a bidding war on, like, Sanders and Decker, or do you consider going for guys like a Brandon LaFell, a Kenny Britt, maybe a Miles Austin? So would you be okay if the Jets said, you know what, we're not gonna break the bank for Eric Decker. We don't think he's number one receiver, but we're going to go with a Miles Austin and a Brandon LaFell, and then maybe, you know, go deep into the draft. Would you be okay with upgrading receivers with less, you know, with relatively cheaper guys just to not break the bank for one player?
Yeah, that's true. And also, guys, what's wrong with Santonio? Let's just say, I know he has bad attitude, he's, you know, bad vibe, but what if he drops his contract down to, like, let's say a $4 million, $5 million? I think he would still be a good number two, you know? And then we don't have to break the bank to have just someone, just so you know, just so we have someone. If we get someone like that...
Simon, $4 million for Santonio Holmes? What team's going to pay Santonio Holmes $4 million? Drop him down to a veteran's minimum.
High? If he's on the open market, sign me up.
Well, you know what? I would give him a take-it-or-leave-it offer. Here's your minimum salary. Take it or leave it. If you're going to keep him, he's getting a minimum. Because he's going to find a very icy cold market out there. I'm telling you, a lot of these guys, these 30-year-old guys, are going to find an icy cold market. So if he doesn't want to stay with the Jets, you know what? Give him a take-it-or-leave-it offer. I'm not giving him $4 million. Because quite frankly, I can go out and sign someone else who's probably got a better attitude and going to give me more production for $4 million. So I hear what you're saying, Simon. Why not keep him? But I'm not keeping him for no $4 million. So, I mean, it's not outside the realm of possibility that he takes a pay cut, but he better take a severe pay cut. If I'm John Idzik, I'm saying you take a severe pay cut or you're gone, and I mean it. So that's my opinion. But, again, I hear what you're saying. The point is, why not keep Santonio Holmes around? He's a serviceable receiver. But here's the thing with Santonio Holmes, too. He's got to understand something. If he's staying next year, he's got to understand his role. And his role might be to give way to a younger guy as the season moves on. Do you think he's going to be able to accept that?
Ooh, that's a hard one. If his ego is not in play, then he should, you know. He is getting a little bit older. I don't know how many games he's played over the last two seasons. It's not much.
No, 2012 he had the late Liz Frank injury, and then last year he was in and out with the Liz Frank and then the hamstring. So, yeah, you know, he's got a little bit of an ego. But Simon, switch gears for a minute. Let's get off Santonio Holmes. We know that probably he's going to get cut. He could stay, but probably get cut. I want to talk about Antonio Cromartie a little bit. Now, we know that he's not coming back for his current contract price. But I don't know if you heard the show last week. I think you did, about Cromartie maybe restructuring a little bit. Okay, so what do you think about Cromartie coming back for, say, $5 or $6 million next year, lowering his cap number about $5 or $6 million? Would you be comfortable with that, or you just think the Jets should move on and try to use the money elsewhere and bring somebody else in at cornerback? Because I'm of the impression that I would like to keep Cromartie on the team. I like the continuity. But I'd like to hear what you have to say.
See, I love Crow. I want to keep Crow for as long as possible. But if I'm not mistaken, I think he's about 30, isn't he?
He's 29 going on 30, but here's the thing. Brent Grimes, who's probably the best going to be free agent if he's a franchise cornerback on the market, is 31. So let's not just write him off because he's going on 30. I know he had a poor year last year, and he even admitted it that he had a poor year last year. But the year before that, he was pretty darn good. So let's see how the hip responds. You know, at 30 isn't really the death knell for a cornerback. There have been plenty of guys who have played a few years after that. So I hear what you're saying, but do you think you could squeeze another year out of him at worst and get more like the 2012 Cromartie and less than the 2013 Cromartie?
I think we could, but I also wouldn't mind, you know, trying maybe cut him and get someone from, I think he's from Tennessee. I can't say his first name.
Verner.
Sure his last name. Yeah, that's a hard name, yeah.
Yeah, Verner, that's what you're thinking of.
Well, he's going to cost you a lot of money if he hits free agency.
We're already thinking like 8-9 probably.
Yeah, 8-9 per, maybe like a 5-year deal.
Yeah,
you know, you're going to be looking at a lot of money, so.
I don't know. You know, I've always thought about, you know, maybe you let him go, you pick up someone like that. Maybe if all the receivers are gone, you pick up like a Calvin Pryor, like a safety. I'm in love with Jarius Bird, but I know that's going to break the bank too. But Kroll,
well, I don't know if he's going to be available because he might get franchised by the Bills again. They're close to a long-term deal. Looks like Burr's going to stay in Buffalo.
So?
But look, I hear what you're saying, Simon. I hear you're saying the thing is this, is that the Jets have something this year that they didn't have last year, options. Is that a good statement, that they have options?
Yep, they have options. You just got to make sure they don't make the wrong ones.
Well, that's where John Idzik comes in. Look, this is why John Idzik makes the big money. It's up to him to make the decisions here. And ultimately, the product on the field you see is a product of the general manager. Forget about Woody Johnson. What you see on the field and Rex and everything, John Idzik is the highest guy in the pyramid here as far as the product you see on the field. The responsibility lies with John Idzik, and the buck stops with him. And he knows that, and he's actually said that. So this is why you pay him the big money. He has a lot of decisions to make here, and he has the resources to utilize to make big decisions. And in Idzik, I trust, because thus far, from what he's done in this organization, his philosophy, his patient, calm, we keep our mouth shut, we let our talking be done on the field, I think it has resonated throughout the whole organization and down through the players. And we'll kind of wrap it up with that, Simon. Do you agree with that statement? Because I really like what John Idzik has brought to the table.
See, I agree with philosophy to a certain extent. I just don't want him to be, like, pinching every last penny to a point where it's like we're not getting anyone. You know, but I also like it because we went through Mike Tannenbaum, who used to just overspend big flashy moves all the time. I don't know. That's a hard one.
Well, I think that we're going to find out on March 11th what Idzik is made of, what he's willing to do, what he's not willing to do. We're going to find out a little bit more about John Idzik this year than we did last year. Because last year, let's face it, he walked into a poor situation. He knew he had to have an austerior budget. That's what he had last year moving forward, and now he has a lot more resources in front of him, which leaves a lot more options. And, again, the decisions that he makes ultimately will reflect upon what happens on the field. But, Simon, we're kind of running short on time. We're going to wrap things up. Listen, they had the international flavor tonight. You know, hearing from our neighbors from the north, it's great that we have, you know, the Jets following up north of the border there. And I just, Simon, just one thing. I think I have more snow here in New York than you probably do in Toronto. I've had like 60 inches of snow. That's like, I don't know, like 2,000 centimeters or something like that. I can't really convert it that well, even though I'm numbers. It's like 2,000 centimeters of snow I've had here in New York. I mean, everything's buried. I could barely walk outside. So, you know, we've had a horrible winter. So we're really looking forward to the spring rolling around, the draft, the off-season workouts and mini camp. We're getting excited. And you know what? I think that it's going to be exciting heading into the season this year for our New York Jets.
Yep. It should be, hopefully.
No, hopefully. Let's keep our fingers crossed. You know, look, last year was a stepping stone. Let's see if the Jets can take it to the next level. But, Simon, always appreciate the support. Appreciate you calling in. And please, call in again real soon.
All right, guys. Thank you.
Okay, take care, Simon. Bye now. Well, Tyson, you know, we got the international flavor going on tonight.
Yeah, with some very strong opinions, too, which is great. I mean, I'm surprised it's said we're talking about Geno stinks, blow the season, and fire Rex. I mean, that's kind of early for that, though.
Yeah. Let's just blow. Hey, the Jameis Winston watch is on already in February. But look, everybody has, and here's the thing. Here's the great thing about doing this show, and the great thing about sports in general is that look, everyone, it's subjective. It's subjective. Doesn't mean that I say is right or what you say is right, especially Tyson. We don't want to get into that. But, you know,
of course,
it's wonderful to hear these varying opinions because, look, when I look at someone's quote-unquote mock draft, I never say, well, that can never happen because it could. Stranger things have occurred, and it's so hard to know what's going to happen in the draft. It's so hard to know what's going to happen in free agency. But, look, talking about it, speculating, getting ideas, guys you like, guys you don't like, why you like them, this makes it fun, and it was really great to get the callers tonight. Liam, Simon, Jude calling in, and really have another wonderful hour or so here of Jet Nation Radio with you, Tyson. It really was great.
Yeah, absolutely. I definitely agree. I mean, it was great hearing from both Simon and Liam and definitely Jude. And, Dennis, the funny thing was, a couple days ago on Twitter, it was just one of those days where I was like, all the mock drafts start coming out, and I was like, you know, everybody values Mike Mayock and Mel Kiper and all these guys, and it's like their success rate on their pick in the first round, their success rate is like less than 10%. Like, their mock, what you do this year, and like, whoever listens to the show, when they post their final mock drafts, print it out and put it somewhere. And then when the draft is complete, go back and look at what actually happened, and you'll be shocked how wrong all these so-called experts actually are. I mean, it's Dennis, it was like 10%. The numbers were ridiculous how off they actually were in terms of their mock draft and compared to what actually happened.
Yeah, well, we know we got the combine coming up, and people, you know, ourselves and other people can watch the combine. And looks like we might have another caller coming in here, so I'm going to hang on for one more second and see if we can squeeze them in. But, you know, you can watch a combine, you get an eye, all these things add up. Look, I'm no scout. I can watch something on YouTube on a player. I watch college football. You watch college football, and you keep an eye on guys that maybe you hear about, and you say, yeah, this guy looks pretty good or whatever. What do we know? You know, what do we know? Our opinion is just as valid as anybody else's. So, you know what? Simon said he really liked Marquise. Was it Simon or was it Liam who said he really liked Marquise Lee? I think maybe it was Liam. And look, who's to say Marquise Lee isn't going to be the next big thing if the Jets do end up getting him? There's a very good chance that he might end up a Jet, and he might end up having a great career. He could end up having something in between. I mean, it's with the draft, it's always so hard to tell. But, you know, the combine gives you just another little bit of information to look at and at least in your mind evaluate a player.
Yeah, and it's really tough, too, because, you know, the big thing on Twitter is a lot of times people will tweet me or tweet whatever, the highlight videos of the guy. So basically what you're seeing is you're seeing this player's best plays over the last 2-3 years.
Yeah.
You're not seeing the drop passes, the blown, you know, blocking assignments. You're not seeing all that. So you really got to study a full season, and that's why, like, guys like Ron Pickett are so valuable, because they study the game tape, they figure it out. Instead of just looking at, okay, I went on YouTube, you know, I Googled whoever, Ebron. Oh, my God, this guy's a beast. All right, well, that's – you watched 3 minutes of highlights. They play all these games, so it's more than that. So that's why, you know, I look forward in the coming weeks having these draft experts on that have more detailed analysis than just, you know, a two-minute highlight reel.
You know, we do have a caller on the line. I want to bring him on because it's Hank, our buddy Hank from State College, and he's a football coach. He wants to talk about the draft a little bit. So, Hank, Dennis and Tyson here at Jet Nation Radio, thanks for giving us a call. And what do you got for us tonight?
I heard Mike Mayock's name mentioned, so I had to call in. I can't stand that guy. So I just had to call in. I wasn't gonna. You know, I was enjoying listening to the show. So, I mean, Mike Mayock and the rest of those guys, you know, that they're like weather forecasters. What do they really know? I mean, they say 1 to 30 inches, basically. And that's what we get on any player, what they tell us.
Well, you know, and Hank, the thing is, too, and you're dead right, because if the analysis was always spot on, there would never be busts in the first round. I mean, if you know a guy is a no-doubt first-round lock, game-breaking talent, if you can guarantee that, none of these teams would draft busts. You know, the GMs never get fired. So there's so much wiggle room. There's so many things can happen. That's why it's like you got to kind of, you know, you try to form your own opinion. You try to watch your own tape. You use a variety of resources. But I just find it funny when, like, people just, they'll say, well, Mike Mayock said, okay, well, what was Mike Mayock's success rate last year in the first round? How many picks did he actually get right? And none of these guys none of them are spot on. You know what I mean? If you look at Sheldon Richardson's reports when the Jets drafted him, some guys absolutely ripped him. And these are experts. I mean, we have our own opinions. I mean, I wanted Eifert for whatever reason, but experts were like, Richardson's a bad fit for the Jets. He's not good in Rex Ryan's system. He's rookie of the year. So, you know, it's no, like you said, they're weathermen. In some aspect, you're absolutely right, because they're just, you know, they're just throwing things to the wall, hoping something sticks. If they're right, they're going to brag about it. When they're wrong, they don't say a word about it. Don't you agree, Dennis?
Yeah, you know, here's the thing, and Hank, and I'll let you come back in. If anybody – people out there who, you know, I mean, again, it's fun to talk about the draft, but do yourself a favor. Try to do a mock draft. Even try to do a first-round mock draft. and put the teams out there and what you know about them. I mean, it's so hard. Like, you start putting players in there and you say, well, maybe this player, maybe they take this player, or maybe they take that one. It's so hard, but, you know, these so-called experts, these guys who get paid, like Mike Mayock is like, I think when the Dolphins traded up to 3 last year, Mike Mayock's going, oh, it's Lane Johnson. Oh, it's Lane Johnson. They're going to and they took Deion Jordan. And, you know, I mean, here's a guy who gets paid, who's an expert, and nothing against Mike Mayock. He knows what he's talking about. But you know what? It is always a shocker in the draft that no one expects that changes up everything. And, look, a lot of the Jet fans were not happy with Sheldon Richardson, but they sure are happy with him now. Hank.
Yeah, hey, I was very skeptical of him. And, you know, he shocked me, and he shocked the rest of the world. So, I mean, who knows who we could pick this year? I mean, I'm sorry, Hank.
I'll leave you gone for a second. But I got a question for you quickly. Your number one pick, whoever the Jets take, I mean, best player available needs kind of a mixture of the two. If it's a defensive player, do the Jets have to take that player?
Take him. Take the defensive player.
You only get one first-round pick for the whole year. You know, if that guy ends up giving you nothing because you went for a need and you reach for a need, you're going to regret not taking the other person, correct?
Yeah, I'll take the best available player. I'll take the defensive player. I mean, I like the guy from Michigan State, the defensive back. That's what I'm hoping for.
What's his name, Denard?
Yeah, Denard. That's him.
Denard. Yeah, okay. One other question for you, Hank, and then we're going to wrap up because we're starting to run short on time. It's been a great episode of Generation Raider. Just love all the callers. But you know Penn State real well. Allen Robinson, what do you think of him as a receiver?
I think he's phenomenal, and I think that we could probably get him in the second round and maybe even the third round. I'm thinking more of the second, though. And if we could get him in the second, that's great. Yeah.
So you would definitely be in favor of you know, using a second-round pick on him. You think he fits Morningwick's system, good hands. I mean, you know Penn State real well. I know that, and that's why I trust your judgment on giving us a quick scouting report on him.
Yeah, he's got good hands. He's fast. He's a big guy. And, you know, I think he has the motor to play in the NFL.
All right, well, that's terrific, Hank. We really appreciate it. Listen, we're running short on time. We appreciate you calling in. We appreciate you ripping on Todd McShay or is it Mayock, whoever you ripped on. Like, rip on them all. Don't sugarcoat it, Hank. How do you really feel? All right, Hank, listen, we're going to wrap up with you. Thank you very much for calling in to Jet Nation Radio tonight. You have a good night and call us again soon. Okay, buddy?
All right, rock on.
All right, thanks, Hank. All right, I tell you, it's fast and furious tonight. And you know what? I think a lot of the real fans, you know, who love the NFL 24/7, 365 days a year, and you know they love the off season, they love the draft, they love following it, and they want to just keep up on their news with their favorite team, and it's great to see all the enthusiasm. Boy, it's been almost, we've almost gone through the whole hour and a half, Tyson. We just got a lot of callers there at the end, and it was great to get everyone's perspective.
Yeah, no, it's always great talking Jets and just interacting and just spitting ideas out there and seeing what people think, what our options are, you know, how things are going to play out. I mean, it's great. I mean, like you said, the cool thing about now, especially with social networks, is there's so many opportunities to learn about players. I mean, you can go to all these analysts, whatever it's, you know, Scott Wright, Chris Stuber, you know, Ron, all these guys, they all have opinions. So it's like, if you take the time to do some research, you don't have to just covet what Mike Mayock says or whoever Mel Kiper says. You can start forming your own opinions and doing your own research, which I think is one of the benefits of, like, social networks these days.
Yeah, definitely. There's a lot of resources, a lot of different things, a lot of different opinions. You might look at somebody and say, I don't agree with that at all. But, hey, you know what? Formulate your own opinions. This is kind of what I talked about, the redrafting. You know, if you had a choice of picking a receiver, and you look back at some old drafts and say, well, look, you know, so and so was Vernon Golston. You know, we all remember him, so we don't want to repeat performance of that. But I want to thank Steve for working the busy switchboards tonight. I want to thank Tyson for sticking around for the hour and a half here that we have Jet Nation Radio. I want to thank all the callers again, folks. If you want to follow us on Twitter, it's at Jet Nation Radio. The big site is at Jet Nation. That's where my articles are posted. You'll see some stuff from Tyson there from time to time. Ron, actually, TysonTheJetSetter.com. You can follow Tyson on Facebook. Tyson, what's your Facebook page?
That's just my name, dude. Tyson Roush. Nice and easy.
Tyson Roush. And it's TRoush21 on Twitter. So just follow him on Facebook. Follow him. He did an interview with Ron. It was great recently on his webpage. And, again, the email, if you want to give us an email, it's jnradio@jetnation.com. So, Tyson, thank you very much for a wonderful hour and a half almost of Jet Nation Radio tonight.
Yes, thank you. I mean, this was a blast. It's an exciting time with free agency coming up. So it's a great debating with you and talking to the callers, and I'm sure as free agency approaches, I'm sure Numbers is going to put his big boy hat on.
I'm here at my calculator punching away. But for Tyson Roush, this is Dennis Agapito. Jet Nation, we will see you next week at 8 o'clock.